Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game one of the Red Sox series with the Yankees goes to the good guys, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI, and we will talk about that with Lou Merlone coming up in about 20 minutes, and certainly you can listen to it all night long on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox radio network, and we don't charge you for that. There's no fee associated. It is free content, and you'll hear Lou, and you'll hear the Wills, and it is a 6:08 start again tonight, which Wiggy loves.
Some
people who don't get out of work in time and are upset with the early start, but I happen to be on board. So,
yep.
Before we get back to the news, let's open the weather window for Curtis, the Window World of Boston weather window. Okay, Curtis, if you don't mind poking your bald head outside and telling us what it's going to be like today.
That's hurtful. 52 degrees in Boston, sunny skies, afternoon high in the mid-60s. In the Bronx tonight, 56. First pitch should be in the low 60s. No issues weather-wise for game two with the Sox with the potential win. And, Greg, quick question for you before we get back to the news.
Yes.
Who do you gain more satisfaction in their losses, the Yankees or Patrick Mahomes?
The Yankees by far, but that's an old head take maybe because I have always known them as the evil empire. And you brought up during your lead this morning that there may be a generation who doesn't feel that way,
right.
A generation who has experienced the Red Sox dominance over the New
right.
York Yankees.
Yeah. So. For me, it's Notre Dame, the Yankees, and Mahomes tied for first.
Whenever well, the lose. Yankees and Notre Dame have a lot of things in common. Like, they have these fans that come out of nowhere that just follow them. And the Cowboys. Those are, like, the three, in my opinion. But when you look at the Yankees, I think that right now it's because fans follow players, not teams. That's the issue with rivalries.
Right.
Like, people become a fan of Aaron Judge.
Right.
And, like, they don't care what team he's on. It's like, he's Aaron Judge. And people just like him. And right. I think a lot of Red Sox fans like Aaron Judge, even though he's on the Yankees. So it takes that hate out of it.
Yeah, there's no more, like players that you can't stand from the Yankees. Like, you know,
right.
he does have that Jeter effect where...
what about Spike Lee? I can't stand
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but Spike Lee's a fan. Yeah, he's a fan.
I think that counts.
I would say that there's a large portion of people who watch that game and have no clue who he is.
Like, who Spike Lee is?
Yeah.
They don't know who Spike Lee is.
I mean, they do need, when it comes to relevance, they need to find somebody younger.
Yeah,
right.
Well.
Like, I'm sure a lot of fans were watching that. Like, why do they keep showing this sad old
right.
guy?
Chalamet.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a Knicks guy. Can't he go to a Yankees game so
you would
they
think.
Have somebody relevant on the screen last night?
You think he'd be a Yankees guy. But, yeah, I agree, Courtney. And the Yankees don't have those players that you just, like, they don't have the A-Rods.
Not even just the Yankees, though. I just think people fall in love with players now instead of teams.
Right, but they don't have the players that you hate, like
yes.
you know,
yeah.
Because even the you brought up the players they fall in love with. There's the Aaron Rodgers, the other side's the
yep.
players that you hate.
Right. And Alex Rodriguez was the
yeah,
perfect combination.
Yeah, they don't have the Paul O'Neills no more. Like, you don't have those guys.
I hated Scott Brosius. What
yeah.
a dink.
It's like certain guys, you're like, oh, the guy's just so
yeah, but some of that goes, that some of that stuff went back to, like, Veritek and A-Rod and that whole thing, and you don't necessarily get that as much as you used to in sports. And
I mean, let's be honest, and I think a lot of it is what Courtney says, but, like, the rivalries are gone. Like, even when, like, Celtics-Lakers, I mean, how many young fans look at that as being a rivalry?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's many young fans that look at it even being a rivalry because some people like LeBron
yep.
or like Luka Doncic, you know?
Can I get this quick stat from last night that is shocking?
Yeah.
Teams in baseball playoff history to have the bases loaded with nobody outs, trailing in the ninth inning or later, and proceed to score zero runs. The Yankees last night, the Phillies in 2008.
Yeah.
That's it. The history of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a colossal choke.
Should have played a little small ball.
Right.
Lay down a bunt. I know it's Giancarlo. He can't lay down a bunt. Or when Chisholm got up there, there was only one out. Maybe he could lay down a bunt.
Now, he is hateable.
Who?
Like, Jazz Chisholm is hateable.
Yeah, I don't know enough about him to hate him. I mean, he didn't even play last night.
Well, he's mooning the media, like facing his locker. What was that about yesterday?
You don't want to show
his front
side.
He's probably mad he didn't play.
Yeah.
And I got this for Jackson. Let's go Red Sox chants by fans leaving the stadium, all echoing through Yankee Stadium last night. So unsuccessful to ban most of the Sox fans, I guess, in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how did they get in there? They must have used some kind of a black market IP address.
VPN, baby. Come on.
There are a lot of people from Boston that live in New York City now, like the fresh out of college folk.
How dare they? I mean, how dare they attend the Major League Baseball playoff?
Charm is right, though, the VPN. I
mean, would you rather be kicked in the nuts or live in New York?
I was told that it's not a big deal by a Yankees fan yesterday because other cities have done it forever. I have not.
No.
Have you, Curtis, you've been doing this for a long time.
Have
you seen, again, yesterday we talked about it. The Colts did it and Peyton Manning, you know, made a plea publicly for fans not to sell their tickets. But I don't know that it's super common where you're banning the opposing fans from being in your ballpark.
It happens in Indianapolis, in Mickey Mouse towns. It happens when there's not a huge historic fan base. It does not happen in Philly, New York, Boston, Chicago. Like, that is insane.
And I thought, like, the Manning thing was him just pleading to, like, season ticket holders, like, don't sell them to other fans.
Don't sell
I didn't know that.
Please, don't sell your tickets to Patriots fans.
I didn't know that the organization, the Yankees organization, could put the kibosh on tickets to.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was even possible. I thought that was, like, illegal in the world of MLB.
Yeah.
It's just pathetic. It really is. It's a pathetic...
cowardice.
Like, you can't have an open market for people to buy the tickets because you think not enough of your fans will go.
Right. Well, can you imagine the Red Sox turning around and trying to do that to Blue Jays fans? I don't know how well they travel to the United States of America. But
terrorists.
I mean, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, game two tonight, 6:08, first pitch again. Courtney, is that correct this evening?
That is correct.
On the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network, and Lou on everything that is Red Sox coming up. But rest of the news now with Courtney.
Well, Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman are headed for divorce.
Oh.
This is shocking.
Oh, what happened?
So they've been together for 19 years. Kidman, 58 years old, filed yesterday. They agreed to a parenting plan that gives Kidman 306 days per year with her daughters, and Urban gets 59 days. They worked out a parenting schedule. Neither party will receive child support. It is a kind of he said, she said, when it comes to sourcing right now of what went wrong. People in his camp are saying, you know, this is kind of a long time coming. They've been drifting apart. Whereas people out of her camp have been telling media outlets that he's been going through a tough time and has been making some questionable decisions. I also saw a report that she's really upset right now because it seems like he's already moved on with a younger woman.
There you go.
In the industry. Yep. So I don't know if that's true or not, but those are what sources are saying.
The younger woman.
That is it.
Yeah.
You know, no appreciation for the years of support that she has given to Keith Urban?
Yep.
That's
19 years.
Generally how it works.
Now, who would end up paying whom in that relationship? Who has more money?
I feel like Nicole Kidman, but I don't know Keith Urban that.
I think Nicole Kidman probably has more money.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But yet, she could be replaced at any moment by an AI actress.
So. Right.
Yeah,
I don't know. You couldn't replace her in those AMC commercials. She's spectacular.
Yeah, she's pretty good in those. Yeah.
$75 million for Keith Urban, Nicole Kidman.
She's an excellent actress.
Yes.
Keith Urban.
Big Little Lies.
Yeah,
oh, so good, Courtney.
So good.
He's
good.
A country singer, Keith Urban.
Yes. Yeah.
I talked about. We talked about it recently that we watched during the pandemic with Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman. What was that called?
I don't remember. But
it had a terrible ending.
Yeah.
Awful ending. Great show.
It's stupid.
Oh, Kidman dwarfs him. $250 million
yeah.
for Kidman.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like a mega, like, and I feel like a lot of people went from movie stars to now
mind.
TV show stars.
Yeah, The Undoing, Curtis.
That
yeah.
was such a good show.
Because I couldn't. What's her last movie she was in?
Well, she was in The Perfect Couple, which was a Netflix movie, but it was
right.
Based
but I
off
feel
a...
like don't you feel like the movie stars are now going in that direction,
yeah.
like the TV shows and the series, and like they're almost, you know, she used to be like $20 million a movie.
The Perfect Couple was good.
Yep.
But it was supposed to be happening on Nantucket, and they filmed it somewhere else.
Correct.
Like Chatham or something that,
gross.
Or Canada.
Yeah, like, they did. It didn't. It you're right. It didn't look like Nantucket at all. But they're actually Ellen Hildebrand, another one of her books, Five Star Weekend. They're filming right now, and they've been seen to be filming on Nantucket.
Yeah,
so that one's
the way it should be.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. Anyway, sad news.
Sad news
for the Urbans.
But good news: Delta and Spanx are collabing for some travel wear. I love it.
Oh,
yeah. The collaboration between two Atlanta companies, because Delta and Spanx both based in Atlanta. It celebrates Delta's 100th anniversary and Spanx's 25th anniversary. They have pullovers for $128, a crew neck for $98, and pants for $118. If you're looking on Twitch or YouTube, you could see some of the offers.
Huh. Why not just get a sweatsuit for $30? You're going to spend $119
for some people
sweatpants.
Like
Spanx makes quality items.
Yeah.
They don't just make what do they call that now?
The form
curve
fit and
wear.
Stuff?
Shapewear.
Yeah, shapewear.
Yeah.
They make like actual like jeans.
Yeah.
Everything.
Right. This is good news for skinny fat people who might be flying soon.
Suck
right?
all that.
Right,
suck
Wiggy?
All that
right.
extra
yep.
skin up and get all that. That's that like Ozempic skin. You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tighten it up.
Well, that's a good thing if you happen to be sitting next to somebody who takes up too much of the seat. I'm assuming the Spanx will realign everything.
Yeah.
And then they won't have like rolls that are bleeding over into your seat area.
No.
But do you see the people they're advertising? I know Wiggy probably thinks they're fat, but like
I don't think these two people would
never need it.
But that's what I'm Spanx isn't just shapewear anymore. Like Spanx makes
It looks
regular
like a sweatsuit.
It makes regular clothing. Yeah. That is not shapewear. That's not going to suck you in. That's just a very comfortable
sweatsuit.
Sweatsuit.
Yeah.
But people who like that, wouldn't they go to, what's the place, Greg, that you said's good? Three letters? Aloe?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love Aloe.
Or Lululemon for men.
Yeah. Right. Men's athleisure.
Also, Nicole Kidman, Rhode Island texter. We are coming to see you in Rhode Island Friday morning. At the Newport Craft Brewery for a Flex Friday show, and I hope all of you incredible Rhode Island people will come out and hang with us all morning on Friday. Reminds me about Lioness and Nicole Kidman, and I cannot wait till that show comes back.
So good. Season 2, not as good as season 1, but still good.
I thought it was good.
Is that the Zoe Saldana thing?
Yeah. You didn't like season 3? You liked season 2.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you
didn't?
No. Season 1 was a perfect show.
Yeah.
Season 2...
Yeah.
She's a good actress, though. I like Zoe Saldana.
Yeah. Let's get to influencers in the news, if we can.
It's influencers in the news on the Greg Hill Show.
Ooh, New Hampshire is making a bunch of changes to a popular hiking trail to crack down on the leaf peepers during the height of the season. Last year, apparently, the influencers that came to take photos created unsafe conditions.
Where is this trail?
So this is Bluffs Trail in Franconia Notch.
Okay.
And it includes, they're making it a one-way hiker traffic pattern to prevent bottlenecks because people were stopping for too long or just going to one specific area to get the shot.
Curtis really misses the one-way arrows in the grocery store that we had during the pandemic.
Those were so helpful. And really founded in science.
So all of these influencers are on a trail in a mountain and taking pictures for the likes and getting in the way of each other and causing near fatal conditions. Is that what you're telling me? That's why they have to change everything for them. My God.
Well, I mean, this is what happens every year. As soon as you hit October when it's peak leaf peeping season, that's where people head to get the shots. So here's Tamara Bro talking about the chaos people caused last year to get the perfect pick on BZ.
It was chaos. There was no order. There was nobody being polite about it. You kind of just were just bottlenecked into a situation where it was very narrow and people were just trying to shove their way through.
Yeah.
I'm going hiking in my Louboutins. Is that safe for everybody?
Okay. It is beautiful, though.
Yeah.
Leaf people.
It's beautiful if you're going there to get a hike in, not to get 87 pictures for Instagram. So good move by them, I think, in New Hampshire. Yeah. All right. Is that it?
That's it for the news.
All right. Great job, Courtney. Thank you. That is the news. Lou Merlone will join us next, and we will talk Red Sox after a win in Game 1 for the Hometown 9. And here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox win. They take game one of the wild card series in the Bronx, taking down the Yankees 3-1. Garrett Crochet went 7 2/3, giving up one run on four hits while striking out 11. After the game, Alex Bregman talked about Crochet and his outing from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Every time he takes a mound, we feel like we have a really good chance to win. He competes his tail off. Thought that he was executing all of his pitches tonight to both sides of the plate. He was aggressive. You could see it in his eyes before the game that he wanted it bad. And every time he takes the mound, we love going out there and playing defense behind him. Just a performance that big-time pitchers make, and that's who he is, and I'm super proud of him.
Your defense almost blew it, though. Did you see Abreu coming?
The Abreu and Rafaela miscommunication?
Like, what was he doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, oh, my God. When I saw that, I was nervous for injuries, but then I think there was a runner on second base at the time or something like that. I was like,
yeah, it was Volpe on second base.
I was like, bro, what is you doing?
Well, you deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today. That series continues tonight. 6:08 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. Lou Merlone, Will Middlebrooks, and Will Fleming are on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:08 for the MassMutual pregame show. And we have an update on Tyreek Hill. He will not need another surgery after undergoing a major procedure yesterday to repair that dislocated left knee and multiple torn ligaments, including his ACL. According to his agent, he is expected to play next season.
All right, he works hard, so I mean, we'll see if he's able to come back and be the same type of cheetah he once was.
Yep. Fall in love.
Will it be there, though?
It'll be somewhere. You saw what he owes the ex-wife.
Yeah. He's still on the contract there, so, I mean, they're probably going to blow Mike McDaniel out, and maybe they probably won't move on from Tyreek.
But do you think this gives Mike McDaniel more life? Like, he's not going to get blamed, really, if they don't have a good year. He's got his best receiver hurt.
Yeah, maybe. And the reports were they were already going to be patient with him.
Maybe it does open the door for him.
Well, fall in love in a 2025 Subaru, SubaruofNewEngland.com. Fall in love with a brand new Subaru featuring symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. We've got Lou Merlone coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now from the Red Sox broadcast team here at WEEI and at Nesson, and I believe it is well documented that he is the only insider that I listen to when it comes to baseball. No offense, Bradfo or Curtis, but the great Lou Merlone from New York. Hi, Lou.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
What a night last night.
Wow. Yeah, it was, it was just like kind of brought back to old school. I played at a time when we had Clemens versus Pedro, you know, and last night kind of like freed Crochet, different era, but just sort of like you knew you were going to get that kind of game. Like, Freed was awesome. Crochet was awesome, even better. Like, it was just, there's nothing better than listening to a quiet Yankee Stadium leaving. Nothing better.
Lou, they asked Crochet about this, and you probably could give a better insight about him being able to pitch a lot more innings and wanting to do it like guys used to do it back in the day. But he said because of his velocity, he didn't think that he could do it. Is he throwing a lot harder now than, you know, guys like Clemens and, you know, Pedro and the guys that we think about that pitched a bunch of innings? Is he throwing a lot harder than those guys were?
I still think there are guys that threw the ball real hard. I mean, you even go back even before my era, you know, maybe not as many. I play with Pedro. He's 97, 98, you know, so for a little guy, you know, Roger, maybe 95, 97, that type of thing. I mean, so Verlander, another guy that could crank it up to 98, 99. And even back in the day, those guys that are throwing the ball in, you know, high 90s, it's just there weren't as many, you know. So I don't know about the whole error thing. I try to stay out of the error thing, but it's been impressive, you know, for a guy that was like last year, the White Sox sort of like were just trying to be careful with him. They did the Red Sox a favor with how they monitored his innings last year in the second half, almost gave him like a foundation year to sort of like, they were doing somebody a favor. They knew they were trading him. They wanted to get him ready and build them up to 142. So the following year he could go 200 innings for somebody, not them. So you got to give them a lot of credit with how they used him last year.
Lou, I have to say, awesome year, by the way. Best in Boston, you know that. But if you switch the managers yesterday, do you think the game's different?
Listen, I like Aaron Boone. I think he takes a lot of heat. I just don't think there's many better than Cora, especially in the postseason. You know, and listen, I know that he's taking a lot of heat for Fried, right? Pulling Fried and bringing in Weaver. I don't know. I was just watching that game. We were even talking about it. Like, he was starting to look different. Like, he was completely dominant, and all of a sudden he just sort of lost the off-speed pitches, the location. His misses were really, really bad. You could see him tiring, and it was 99 pitches. He went to his guy. I think every single manager from this point on in the postseason, if you bring in a reliever and they do their job, you look very smart. If you bring in a reliever and he doesn't do his job, you're going to be questioned and you're an idiot. Like tonight, like Brian Bayo, the rest, if it's not Garrett Crochet, Cora's going to be aggressive. And you know, it could be four innings, four and a third, four and two thirds. Maybe it's Greg Weissert early in the game. Maybe it's Slayton to get out of a jam. If Slayton doesn't give it up, why did you pull Bayo? So I feel like everybody gets this when the bottom line is Luke Weaver didn't do his job. You know, so you got to be better.
How petty do the Yankees look for trying to prevent an entire fan base in a state from buying tickets to a playoff game?
Yeah. It's I think I've seen it before in sports. Cause I remember this story coming up before.
It was the Colts. It was Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. I think Courtney said it too, because it was like Yankee Red Sox fans there, right, who still live in the area. Like if we happened to do this, there would be Yankee fans living in Boston, so couldn't keep everybody out. But it was interesting because little birdie did tell me that because of it, they had 6,000 or 7,000 tickets unsold, and in the very last minute put out very cheap tickets to make sure that thing was sold out. It kind of backfired on them.
Huh. Lou, if they can't get it done tonight and they've got to play tomorrow, do you think Connelly Early is the guy, and do you have confidence in that?
I do think it's Early. The funny thing is I've just as, to be honest with you, after watching this kid and just kind of being around him, kind of just as much confidence as him and Giolito. Because Lucas wasn't himself the last couple of outings. There was a lot of walks. The velocity was way down. And I think no matter who it is, whether it's Giolito or Early, it's going to be two times through the order and just go hitter to hitter after that. The problem with Giolito is that you just thinned your whole rotation out. You thinned your whole pitching situation out. I mean, if you get by this round and you go to a game, like a 5-game series, a 7-game series, you don't want 12 pitchers. You need to have 13. You need to have 14. The problem is, I don't know if they have a healthy arm to even activate. You know, that's the problem moving forward. You know, like Dustin May is probably the guy that will be added if they were to move forward. You've tested out your depth in your pitching department here. So early, I feel comfortable with him. I mean, the guy's got five pitches. He throws for strikes. I think he can handle the moment. It's just that you're really, really thin, and you could have used early maybe out of a bullpen in this series instead.
Lou, one of the interesting things last night is, and they talked about maybe a little strategy in the game, when Chapman came out in the eighth, and then the Yankees kind of took some, they took a little bit longer to kind of keep him on the bench because it seems like he really needs to be warmed up. And it almost looked like that when he faced his first three batters, which he loaded the bases, but then he got to that Chapman form. Does he really need that, like, you can't have any time between him and his, like, kind of pitching?
No, I think that he, you know, he only done four outs a few times this year, and you kind of don't do that, so he can do it this time of year. First off, I love that move. I know Whitlock was out there, but they had a very good left-handed hitter in Ben Rice on the bench that they would have hit for Caballero. So you bring Whitlock in, and now you bring in a good hitter who can leave the yard and who will be in there tonight. So that's why you go to Chapman right away. It got a little hairy, you know, and he's at times this year come in throwing 95, 96, strike one. They knew it. He was throwing strike one more than he has in the past. I think they swung at five or six of the first seven pitches he threw in that ninth inning. But listen, it's the playoffs. I expect him to be available here tonight again, and I expect him hopefully to be out on the mound and close this thing out.
Lou, how much credit do you give Alex Cora for where they are right now and how well they've been playing?
Yeah, I think he's had an outstanding year. And I know, you know, when you live baseball day to day and you react day to day and you're watching a baseball game, and, you know, let's face it, I get it. Like, not everybody watches every game, but you're sort of watching it going, okay, why isn't Whitlock in? Why isn't Chapman in? And you don't realize that maybe they've thrown three of the last 4 days, and that's why, you know, because he has to manage 162. He can't manage a nightly basis thing. And he said, very young, very inexperienced team. I mean, the veterans on this team are Bregman, Story, and Ref Schneider, who's a role player, and it ends there. You know, Duran's in his third year as a starter. He's kind of getting there. So I just think managing these young players. I mean, yesterday, how much heat would he take, you know, for starting Nate Eaton, Nick Sogard, you know, in a playoff game against Max Fried? He's going to do it again tonight against Rodon if they had lost. How much heat would he have taken for allowing Nick Sogard to hit if he into a double play and didn't hit a double, you know? But yeah, he knows his players. He knows his team. And in the playoffs, he's now 18-8. So I think that kind of says it all.
18-8, and the Sox 9 of 10 in their last 10 playoff games against the Yankees. Wild.
Yeah.
Could you? You're the Sox historian as well. Could you rank?
That's back... Buckley.
That's true. Sorry, Buck. You're probably sleeping at the Marriott. But good morning.
I go about as far back as about 3 days ago. Right. To be honest with you, too many concussions, Curtis.
Oh, Lou, don't sell yourself short. But Beckett, Lester, and Crochet, where do you rank those three in terms of aces entering in the postseason?
Boy, Lester was such a workhorse. And I tell you what, Beckett was at 07. He was almost unhittable.
Yeah.
What we saw last night I just felt was different. Well, you know, what's been put on Crochet's shoulders all year long is just different. You know, like it's – man, he gave up the home run to Volpe and then retired 16 straight in Yankee Stadium. Huh. Yeah, his first appearance in the postseason, his first time throwing 200 innings. You're worried about him getting tired down the stretch. You know, we started hearing that in September. He doesn't look right. You know, meanwhile, he was just giving up homers, which is a problem. But some of the numbers under the hood, you know, swing and miss, his stuff was even better than it had been all year long. He never looks tired to me. Even last night, you pulled him at 117 pitches. The last pitch he threw was 100.2. It tied the highest pitch, the fastest pitch he'd thrown all year. I haven't seen too many like workhorses like this guy and what he did this year, kind of out of nowhere. And out of nowhere just meaning the innings limit and still being strong last night. It was just that was fun to watch. He's a pig. Is what he is. He's filthy.
I love him arguing with Alex Cora before the game about when he's going to have to make the call to the bullpen. Like, yeah. I love a guy like that.
Yeah, and I like his answer too. He's like, it's just arrogance. You know, I mean, they asked him yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was, that media thing about, like, did you ever envision yourself being here, division, you know, starting this type of game? And he's like, yeah, I did. Like, this is what I do. Like, this is what I want to do. Like, I don't understand the question.
Lou, when you look at this team and you start to look around the rest of the playoff bracket, do you think that this team has a legitimate chance of winning the whole thing?
I would never count this team out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I do. I worry about the pitching depth, because I know what this run, you know, could look like. You need to win 13 games, and right now you have two starters. And, you know, Conley Early, who I feel good about. So I think you have three starters. But if you win this series, you'll be going to Toronto and you'll have a bullpen game. There's no way to avoid it. In a five-game series, you have a bullpen game. So in a seven-game series, do you have a bullpen game? Do you have two? So there's just no way to avoid that. And I think the depth is really being tested. Now, we actually saw Texas. I kind of feel like Texas won a World Series with Eovaldi and Montgomery. And they had openers, you know, they had just two guys. So now it's up to Bayo, who's had great success here in New York. If you have two guys that are that dominant, that when they take the ball, you win, that can go a long, long way. You know, it's just a very taxing on a rotation. That's the only concern I have, is the depth of the arms they have right now in this starting rotation.
Well, and when they use Connolly Early, can anybody overrule the analytics guys, and can you count on him to eat up innings?
Well, I don't. If he gets pulled two times through, that's not going to be analytics. That is going to be history with the kid. I mean, they've pulled him at 70, 75. Pitches, and everyone's like, he's looked sharp, why pull him?
Yeah.
Last outing, they let him go after 70-75, and he gave it up, you know, and he walked some guys and he didn't look right. So it's still his second year in pro ball. That last time was the first time he'd ever thrown on 4 days rest into minor leagues. They have every Monday off. They always go on five or six. So all of this is new. The usage is new. Like, it's how many times he goes. I would be shocked if he goes game three and goes more than 70, 75 pitches. Doesn't matter how much, how good he looks, because it's just, first off, it's playoffs. Like Bayo. Bayo's a guy that if he goes five, I think you'll be ecstatic, just because I think, especially with a crochet, that he's going to be aggressive with that bullpen.
I saw you post yesterday on X about Major League Baseball and the ratings, the attendance, and the social media views being way up, which is awesome for the game, Lou.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and I'm curious too. Like last night, like, well, what would that number be? You know, like nationally, you know, Sox, Yanks, 6 o'clock, the game, the way it was going, Fried, Crochet, the way it ended. I mean, that's probably going to be a big number for a wild card history as far as where they went. But you know, the game's popular, and hopefully everybody realizes that next year, because that's one thing we're going to hear an awful lot about is this new CBA. You know, hopefully everybody's on the same page, and hopefully, you know, clear minds can kind of get together and talk this thing through, because that's one way to ruin a good thing, is to kind of not have baseball for a bit.
Speaking of social media, I saw you eating bacon, you know, in honor of last night. Crispy, yours looked a little bit floppy last night.
Save that. Yeah. Lou is a flop guy, I guarantee it.
No, I'll say this. I'm not a guy that, like, pre-orders my bacon. Right, I'm just a guy that sits back and just is disappointed if it's sloppy. I'm not going to lie to you. But I also sometimes I feel like when I say, "Can you make it crispy?" It comes out burnt, and I want to throw it out the window.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Soft is always better.
No, soft is gross.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I hate soft. I'm not going to lie to you. It's got to be it's sweet. There's a sweet spot. I need some crisp. But whenever I say extra crispy, it comes out burnt, and I'm like, what is this? Like, I don't want this. So sometimes I just leave it to fate, Courtney. Oh. I really do. I just sort of sit back and say, you know what? Maybe I pick and choose. When you got a double order, you pick the crispy ones, you leave the rest.
I like it.
What's on tap food-wise today? A little New York slice, maybe? Or what
Sparrow?
Are we?
Well, I think right now I'm going to start my day off with a little Essa bagel.
Ooh.
Which is absolutely outstanding, but you got to pre-order because there's like 460 people in line here in New York in the mornings. So I'll settle in there a little bit, but yeah, this is Did a little lunch yesterday, which kind of killed 2 hours, which was a good thing. I may have to try to find that spot again, because if I'm just sort of like done with my morning and it's like noon and I'm leaving at 2:30, 4, 3 o'clock, like there's too much dead time there for me. I don't know what to do with myself. I definitely can see a walk coming at some point here in the city in the early morning. So do a little walk the dog, even though I have no dog. I'll just grab some New Yorker and just walk him.
Just be careful where you're walking. Careful in the Bronx.
And you know, looking ahead to this evening, Bayo has pitched well at Yankee Stadium this season, so that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, it has, and it will be interesting too, because Rendon has not thrown well against the Red Sox this year, and he's had a great year. Freed, on the other hand, has dominated the Red Sox. He's completely thrown the ball well all year long, but Rendon hasn't. I would expect a very similar lineup. Probably the same lineup. We'll see if he goes back with Durant in left field or if he moves somebody else in there. But Ref Schneider, then Yoshida DHs, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But, Bayo's throwing the ball real well. But he's throwing the ball real well because he's located. You know, he has put the ball where he needs to be. This lineup can be pitched to if you locate. If you miss, you can give up 3 or 4 homers in a hurry. You know, that's the danger of the Yankees, but it can be pitched to. If he locates, he's good. If not, you know, you give up a couple of home runs here, you got some problems. But he's throwing the ball well here, so we'll see how it goes tonight.
Could get ugly tonight if the Sox win. Lou, quickly, do you believe Aaron Boone is back if the Sox win tonight?
Boy, there's going to be a lot of heat. There's going to be a lot of heat. You know, I don't know. I think he should be back. I know Yankee fans absolutely hate this guy, but, you know, I don't know. I think their roster is what it is. They hit homers, you know, and they put a great bullpen together, and some guys have not thrown the ball well. You know, guys with history have just not. Like Devin Williams, is it his fault that Devin Williams has had a really bad year? I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it's the pitching coach's fault, but I think the pitching coach did a good job with Fried and Rendon, so, and Schlittler and some of these other guys that have been at heel that have been in this rotation. So, I think sometimes you got to put some heat on the players, to be honest with you, especially in this game.
Lou, we will let you get to work, and we will be listening this evening. And as always, thank you so much for taking the time with us. You're the best.
All right, peeps. Thanks a lot. Appreciate everything. And Coco, congrats.
Thank you.
Happy for you guys.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
I mean, I appreciate the fact that you are offering her congratulations, because she literally said to you moments ago, Lou, yours looked a little floppy. I think
it was about the bacon. Oh, yours looked a little bit floppy. Okay. Heads out of the gutter. Jeez Louise.
Thank you, Lou. You got it. Anytime.
Lou, we'll see you. That is the great Lou Merlone, and we will be
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back. Aaron Boone defending his decision on the timing when it came to yanking Max Fried last night. And the Red Sox are one up in the series with a chance to close it out this evening. And you can talk about that all day long here on WEEI. You can text about it. Multiple text messages asking when your official apology to Alex Cora is, Wiggy. So I don't know. I don't know when that's coming.
No, that ain't coming.
I mean,
no
apology.
If I'm apologizing to Cora, then I want all those people to apologize to Breslow.
Well,
Bresbot.
This texter is talking about how you idiots were all over Alex Cora all season long. And the man went out and managed a gem last night. You have no idea what you're talking about.
No, Breslow managed a gem.
Good morning. Yo,
what's going on, Brez? You can't say Cora managed the gem, but when they lose, go, Craig, Cora doesn't have the ability to manage because Breslow has him on a leash. Well, can't have it both ways.
You calling cap on Lou? I mean, Lou just told you that he managed the gem on the radio
show. And said that he did a really good job all season long, Lou said.
But he also gave, didn't he give Breslow a lot of credit too?
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, it's okay to give both credit. They both deserve credit. Right,
But do we do that?
No, maybe we should start.
We don't, but that's what I'm saying. So I think there's a lot of hypocrites out there that are coming for me when instantly anything goes bad, it's because Breslow doesn't allow Cora to do it.
It is a remarkable thing, Wiggs, where like the offseason was Alex Cora publicly doing everything he could to get Bregman here. Mm-hmm. We all concede that, right?
Yep.
Cora endeavors are close, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Entering the season. If anybody should have understood the ramifications of bringing in Bregman and supplanting Devers at third, it should have been Cora. He created a massive problem that Breslow fixed in getting rid of Devers, and all season long, whenever there was an issue, we all blamed Breslow for taking Crochet out at 85 pitches, but now that they win, it's all Cora's credit. It doesn't make sense. It's incongruent.
That math don't make math. Like, 1 + 1 = 2, but right. Not in this world.
If it's either he did everything good and bad, or he didn't. And you can't all of a sudden, after they win a playoff game, say, oh, the idiots that were ripping Cora. Everybody was ripping Cora. And then people would come out of the woodwork defending him, saying he was just synthesizing the data. You can't get mad at him if he's just operating under others' analytics.
So when the big pig goes 117 pitches,
oink, oink,
oink, oink, and is throwing 100 miles an hour, don't
oink, oink.
Don't be like, good job, Cora. No, be good job, Breslow, for saying, oh, we got to put this guy on a pitch count.
Good morning.
Right, because you got to credit Breslow for the fact that he shortened his work that night, so that may have given him more energy for the playoffs.
Bingo.
This is Tim from Hanover. Good morning, Tim.
Guys, love all of you. And there's no criticizing, man, because here's the deal. We just watched two warriors pitch last night. Crochet and Chapman. And I'll tell you what, Cora is there because, you know what, I never badmouthed Cora, but there was a lot of people that talked crap about him.
Yeah.
But here's the deal with Cora. Cora didn't pull that guy when he had bases loaded, didn't panic on him. He let him roll like he did with Crochet. And the other manager took his guys out, and look what happened. The guys were warriors. They pitched unbelievable. The only thing we're lacking is that one arm we never went and got out and got. I don't like going anywhere in the playoffs. I want to make it all the way to the final game and then hope to win it. That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, you got to cross your fingers on Connolly early, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's worry about that bridge when we get to it.
All right. Okay,
great. By the way, the only thing New York does better, their bagels are just so much better than ours.
So much better.
They're so good. That argument.
Greg, it's so true,
no,
though.
It is. A bagel is a bagel.
Nope.
You are an idiot.
Yeah. What's that place in the seaport that comes in?
Pop-up.
That's a New York place?
Biggest food snob on the planet. You just said a bagel is a bagel?
Yeah, bagel is a bagel.
So false.
These people, and I can't believe Curtis, of all people, is buying into this.
It's literally everybody on the show but you.
It's the water. It is. New York water. It's why the pizza is so great. Like, get lost.
No, it's like fluffy on the inside, but a nice crisp on the outside. York bagels are.
Do they use New York water at their place in the seaport?
It's about the ratio. It's about the cream cheese ratio.
Greg,
if you have enough cream cheese, that's all you take.
No.
That's not even close.
Not since your scrod take have you been more pathetic.
A bagel is a bagel.
If you go to Gramercy, it's one of the sole things that are good about visiting my sister. Gramercy bagel right there. One of the truly great bagels you will ever have in your life. There is nothing that comes close to it here.
I thought a bagel was a bagel until I had that bagel place that you guys always rave about in the seaport.
Yeah, pop-up bagel.
Is that a New York place?
It is.
Okay, but they're made here.
Right. So those bagels are spectacular.
So there's no difference.
They must bring the water.
It's not the water, but it's the way in which they make them.
Well, however they make them over there, they're spectacular. So
they've been making bagels since the days of the camel. They're not making them in a different way.
Days of the camel?
Yeah, a bagel's a bagel.
But why do they take?
Such by the way, perfect, an idiot.
Perfect time to take a break. We will be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.